A lot of gentle parenting and a lot of gentle parenting content is just a disguise for permissive parenting, which is where there kind of isn't a parent. There's just two sort of entities, and one sort of serves the bigger one sort of serves the little one. A lot of us got raised with fear and force, and we don't want to be that. A lot of us are really scared about being the mean parent. And I think that's reasonable.
I even heard one mom explain to me, like, well, I felt really deprived in my childhood. And so I don't want to deprive my own child. And so therefore she's uncomfortable using the word no. If I give her what she wants, it sort of feels like I'm giving my inner child what I want.
That person came by that impulse so innocently, right? That just came out of the way that she got shaped at the beginning. However, I would like to argue with literally all compassion and no judgment that there's a shape that she could take that would benefit her child more than that. I need to change some things. I need a little up with this hairstyle. Okay,
you need a haircut.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I need it to be different.
Okay. Do you know what you want?
Yeah, I do. wait. Let me put my coffee.
The big side.
So I can show you with my hands.
Okay.
Really, I always go back and forth because I only like do anything to my hair like two or three times a year.
Yeah.
And so I struggle with like color or things you have to upkeep because I'm not going to do it. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Really, my hair used to be red and I just always want it back.
Really?
Yeah. I used to box dye my hair red from like ages 16 to 21.
And you love it?
Yeah, I loved it. It was so fun.
But why can't you do it now?
It's so bad for you to box dye your hair particularly red. Any color that's lighter than your actual color, it's just like, there's just like acrid stripping nasty dye in there.
Okay.
If you have light hair and you want it to be dark, you could totally do that from a grocery store. But don't do it the other way. Hi, babe.
Hello.
We're podcasting, but you've interrupted now, so carry on. Live your life.
We're talking about if Lane should have red hair again.
Look at you, beautiful prince. Well, yeah, because we're friends and we're chatting. It's all fine. Anyways, we got interrupted there.
Oh, yeah.
By just like the cutest, nicest man. Yeah.
In a lovely yellow crew neck.
He needed to make himself some lunch.
Yes.
But basically, when I was 16, I read Harry Potter. I needed to be Ginny Weasley. And really, I'm 32 and I kind of still do. Not from the movies. Don't be silly.
No, from the books. She doesn't really have much of a role in the movie.
Movies. And she's so bold and brave and honorable and cool. She's such an absolute Gryffindor, which my little...
And isn't she Harry's love interest ultimately? Mm-hmm. Which I would say, spoiler alert, but you've had many years.
Nobody's protecting you from that at this point.
That's cute though.
Yeah. Anyways, I'm not Ginny Weasley. I'm Lane Dealing Cherland. This is my friend
Jess. And I'm Hermione Granger. I did like Hermione a lot, but I am Jessica Hover. Okay, yesterday Wilson was doing his preschool homework and he wrote Hover and said Huber.
Oh.
And I was like, buddy, your name is not Wilson Huber, which by the way, it's also funny because Wilson was my maiden name. So just to write all these names, I remember learning to write Wilson and he's learning to write Wilson. Anyway.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
he's
that's
like,
cute.
Yeah, isn't that cute? He's like, Wilson Huber is what my teacher calls me. And his teacher's English is not their first language. Yeah. And I was like, well, your name is Hover. It's not Hoover or Huber. And then Jules is like, yeah, my teacher calls me Juliet Huber. And I'm like, guys, and they're writing Hover.
Yeah. But there's also this deeper level of irony where like what the word that they're really writing is hover.
Yeah, that's also H-O-V-E-R. True. I know. I was like, really, forever, your name is going to be mispronounced.
Yeah.
But it's just so funny that they've just taken it. Like they've identified, like they know their name is Hover, but they're happy in school to be Huber. Like, okay. So it's anyway, right. I'm Jessica Huber.
Uh-huh. This is Very Good Enough, a podcast from Very Good Mothers Club. Yes. We're so happy that you're here.
We're so happy you're here. Mm-hmm. And today's episode is one of like a little series where I'm just learning from Lane. We have like a few that we're doing that are very child focused. And I really love when that happens because I get to listen, learn, call Sean right after and be like, all right, so we gotta do this. Yeah. But today's topic, mm-hmm. we're gonna talk about gentle parenting.
Kinda.
Less gentle parenting.
Yeah. We're gonna talk about like maybe what if it was less gentle?
Gentle-ish.
Parenting? Gentle-ish?
Yeah, less gentle-ish.
Yeah.
Anyway, we want this to be super encouraging. And I don't even know what Lane is about to say on the topic. I just heard she was wanting to say something about us being less gentle. And I was like, ooh, I'd love to hear that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's what we're going to do right now. And you're going to walk away feeling very encouraged. Uh-huh. I can promise you that. Mm-hmm. So jump in, friend.
Here we go. Really, my fight is, if I have one, my conflict, my quandary, is with the term gentle. I think they picked the wrong word.
Okay.
Because what I like about now, as opposed to previous times, is that we are a whole bunch of adults who are pretty much done with using fear and force as like our primary parenting tools. Mm. And a lot of generations before us, that's just what people had. And you got to get the job of parenting done if you're a parent. And so we'll leave them with some respect and withhold our judgment as much as we can while knowing like, oh, that fucked us up a little bit. That was hard. And the way that our grandparents did it was maybe even a little bit harder for our parents. And perhaps back and back and back it goes. I think maybe there's more of an instinct for fear and force where survival is a little bit more in question, you know, like if you're...
Maybe there's no time for gentleness if you're trying to survive.
In a war or like a dust bowl or a depression or whatever, you know, all I'm saying is like we can hold some space for the way that things have gotten to evolve over time. And I'm delighted that we're in a space where we're starting to consider the experience of the child in their own childhood and in their own life. I think that's amazing. And I love the emphasis on respect, and I love the decrease of fear and force. I'm so about that.
Even the pendulum swinging to gentle parenting is cool to build upon.
We could have
a podcast episode where we talk about how we'd like to shift slightly from this thing, and this thing was important. But yeah, what's your hot take?
Yeah, things I don't like about the word gentle are that it sounds soft. It sounds not firm. It sounds a little, sometimes gentle can be a little unclear. Sometimes gentle can mean not in charge. Sometimes gentle can mean like there's no like power or firmness or I'm going to use the word force differently, but there's nothing firm or hard or solid here. Sometimes that's what gentle can mean.
Yeah.
And that's what I want to speak to. And I also think that gentle parenting can be a hard thing, can be a hard like name to want to take on.
Yeah.
If you're a person who's like, I don't want my kid to be in charge and I don't want to be permissive. I also think a lot of gentle parenting and a lot of gentle parenting content is just a disguise for permissive parenting, which is where there kind of isn't a parent. There's just two sort of entities and one sort of serves the bigger one sort of serves the little one. And I understand why people get themselves into that circumstance. Again, a lot of us got raised with fear and force, and we don't want to be that. A lot of us are really scared about being the mean parent. And I think that's reasonable.
I even heard one mom explain to me like, well, I felt really deprived in my childhood. And so I don't want to deprive my own child.
Yeah.
And so therefore she's uncomfortable using the word no, not giving in to the child's request for another toy or just things that are totally understandable. And we've been there. Yep. And, you know, when you do use the word no or don't give in to the thing they're asking, there's a big kind of emotional explosion, a tantrum or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was interesting that she would explain it, that it came out of a place of feeling deprived of things she wanted.
Sure.
And now kind of living through this child, if I give her what she wants, it sort of feels like I'm giving my inner child what I want.
Yeah.
And
yeah. And that's so innocent. That person came by that impulse so innocently.
Right.
That just came out of the way that she got shaped at the beginning. However, I would like to argue with literally all compassion and no judgment that there's a shape that she could take that would benefit her child more than that.
Yeah.
More than that. Now, the other thing, the other word, like gentle gets confused. And then I also feel that love gets confused. Mm. I feel like people are worried, can I love my child too much? And I'm like, no, of course not. What do you mean when you say, can I love them too much? Mm. Because if it's, can I give them too much? Yes. If it's, can I offer them way too much control? Of course you can. Mm-hmm. Can I just lay myself out before their needs too much? Yes. Yes, mm. absolutely. There is a space that lives ideally in this radical, beautiful, tension-filled center between things where we say, I'm not going to be a person who dominates from the top down, and I'm not going to be a person who just drops all the gates and fences and lets this child just spill out like water all over everything. Mm-hmm. Somewhere between these two spaces, there's something else. Mm-hmm. And I don't want us to lose in the talk of gentle parenting or respect or even love in the like way too big fluffy sense. Mm-hmm. I don't want us to lose this idea that in a parent-child dynamic, there must be someone who is in charge. There must be someone who's solid, who knows the way, who is the leader and the guide. Mm-hmm. Somebody has to know how to live, because you know who doesn't know how to live is your baby mm-hmm. and your toddler. And they know that they don't know how to live.
Mm-hmm. Even your teenager, even your middle schooler, your elementary schooler, they need you to be the leader and the guide.
Yes. What they don't have is there's a whole quadrant of their brain that is completely uncooked. Mm. And it's the part that makes choices. It's the part that can see far ahead and like plan for things. Mm. It's the part that can make moral assessments. Mm-hmm. It's the part that can hold values and the part that can care about other people. It's the part that can think about anything beyond its just like direct experience. Mm. A person who doesn't have that part cannot be in charge. It's not safe.
Yeah.
It's not safe for them. They're not going to pick the things that are good for them. They're only going to pick things that are according to their impulse. Mm-hmm. And if there's nobody around to say, you know what, I've thought about your impulses and we said yes to these ones and I'm going to say no to those ones right now, this is what we could do instead. If there's no one to guide the process like that, then this is a person who is growing to be led only by whatever they feel in the exact moment that they're in. Mm. That's, we all know that's not a person who's going to be well. When I describe that, everyone's like, oh, I think everybody feels that.
Yeah. If you don't feel it, then maybe you're not quite grasping it. Because to be a person who's only led by the thing you feel in the moment without the big picture is going to be very self-centered, only self-centered. They only have the ability to really like put themselves first. And they're not going to think about things that would make a healthy life. Mm-hmm. They're going to be thinking about things that make a feel-good life right now, instant gratification.
Which leads to a broken life. It's an unpleasant life to be living moment by moment, driven by just your kind of like base level hunger. Yeah. Whether that in all the circumstances of even like, I'm going to eat whatever I want. I just am going to say whatever I want. I'm just going to do whatever I feel like right now. Like those are not the skills that are required to like build a life that works well for you, to build relationships that function well, to even have the things you want.
Yeah.
Your little child doesn't know what it actually wants. Yeah. It only knows what would taste nice now.
Right.
And if there's nobody around because we're being so gentle that we wouldn't ever want to disturb this little child, and I don't mean to be making fun of you, I mean to be emphasizing something. Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't want to disrupt it. Mm-hmm. I don't ever want to rattle the positive feelings around this little baby. When you meet kids who've been treated like that, they're fucking tantruming all the time. It feels terrible to be them.
Yeah.
It feels terrible to be them. They're not having a nice time. In fact, there are more unpleasant emotions happening more and more frequently.
Well, I would imagine there's a lot of anxiety connected to being a young person who is learning that they are actually the one that runs the home.
Yes.
Like even I'm thinking about how friends I grew up with who had really permissive parents, later felt sort of angry at the parents. And it's interesting because you would think like permissive parent maybe thinks they're doing it to like maintain friendship with the kid. But then the kid grows up with this sense of anxiety, like where was my leader? Where was my guide? Where was the one who checked on me and made sure I was in my bed and safe and doing the things that would set me up for success? Ultimately, damaging the relationship between the kid and the parent when the parent, probably with great intentions, is like, nope, unlike your peers who don't really like their parents because their parents check on them and make sure that they go to bed and make sure they go to school and do all these things, you know, this relationship gets really damaged. And I think we need, I'm putting myself in the position of the kid, we do need a sense that we are protected and cared for, and there's a boundary around what I'm allowed to do. I even was thinking as you were talking, I remember I was in a dance class once and the teacher would never correct me. And I felt like, oh my gosh, she doesn't think I'm a good dancer. Like she's not correcting me because I'm not worth correcting. And she would correct me if she thought I had some sort of potential. And I remember as I was thinking it, being like, whoa, that's weird. Like, that's weird that I would want someone to tell me I'm doing it wrong.
That's a cool impulse to be aware of.
And it was definitely, it was towards the end of high school. I was realizing it. So it was a more maturing thought. But like, we feel valued when someone takes the time to shape us. It is a value act. So if we're like, whoa, 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 like my child's going to be whatever they're going to be, and I'm just going to be over here and I'm just going to let it happen and I'm going to be really nice. It does communicate a lack of value when it really is an amazing thing for a kid. I mean, okay, Sean's a skateboarder, so I'm just going to use the light and fluffy example of like riding on a board. When Sean helps these kids learn how to ride on a board, it communicates value. He's not doing that for everybody. He's doing it for these little guys who he loves so much. And it's like, oh, you could do this better. Here, let me show you.
It also says, I think you can do it. I trust you. I believe in your capacity.
Yeah, exactly. So that's interesting to put it all together. And this isn't a whole episode to crap on gentle parents. I think we all are. We're trying to be gentle parents, actually. We're trying to parent gently. But I think what you're really saying is like, have a shape. Parent with gentleness, but have a shape and have boundaries and be the leader.
Let's get into that. Let's go with a shape, or let's talk about a frame. I believe in gentleness.
You are a gentle person.
Believe in gentleness. I think that's true to my nature and also to my choices about how I interact with other people. What I also am is tremendously firm. I'm tremendously firm. Inside of my frame, like think about the outline. If I just like stood, like if you did a little chalk outline of my little body, not that I'm dead, but just that you can see my shape, right? You can see the shape of me. That's what shape I am. And my shape doesn't change in the chalk outline. In real life, it goes up and down all the time. It's soft and nice. But the shape of me. I hold my shape. Now, we've talked about these things before, and we've had a lot of episodes about boundaries, and we've talked to Dr. Sam Rader about boundaries. We're going to borrow a little bit of her language here too, and a little bit of my own, because that's how I talk about boundaries now. I hold my shape. Inside my shape, everything's soft. There's blood in there. There's guts in there. There's nice squishy fat in there. There's muscles and fascia and viscera that's like firm, but if you're really pushed on it, it gives a little bit. But the edges of it are super clear. They're super, super clear. I can't change my shape for you without causing damage to myself. And if you tried to put your hand through my body and change the shape of it, if I let you do that, I would be letting you be awful. That would be awful of you. to forcefully change my shape.
It would be illegal of me.
Absolutely. So when we are two people in a relationship, you and I are two adults. If you are a parent and a child, you are two people in a relationship. If I were to either try to change the shape of that other person or let them do that to me, that would be so damaging and not okay. It's not okay to forcefully alter your child like that, right? It would not be okay for you to let your child hurt you. You would be hurt and they would be doing something bad. Like those edges are clear and important. Your job as a parent is to not do anything bad to them, to do good things to them, and to require them to be a person who also does good things. Like, that's two people in a relationship. That's what boundaries are like. So for me, gentleness exists inside of a firm, clear frame of what is okay and what is not okay. And so if you're not watching, I've just drawn a nice little rectangle frame with my hand. And if you've been with us for a while, you've seen me do this, or you've heard Dr. Sam Rader, who we've had on a few times. She does this thing where she's like, all I care about in parenting is, now she's used to be a psychotherapist and is in the healing arts now. So parenting is not like the major focus, but human development is the major focus, right? Mm-hmm. So she's like, for me, all I care about in parenting is that there's this nice, clear edge. And inside, there's this big, beautiful heart, right? And the edges here are, I will not let you run in the street. It is not okay. I will not let you bite me or hurt my body. No, you may not hurt your sister. No, you may not, I don't know, pick something else that's dangerous. That's always dangerous. That's always no. The edges of this thing, the boundaries here, the safe lines, I always think about it more like territory, right? Like if you're like out in a wild space. Yeah. Yes. I've put a clear fence around where it's absolutely safe and good. The fence doesn't move. There's actually never going to be a time when you're allowed to freaking bite me. No, I'm never going to let you run in the street. I'm not doing that. No, I'm never going to let you hurt yourself. Those are always, they're reasonable. They don't move. Inside a few clear lines, inside a solid frame, this is what's safe and good. All hearts, baby. Hearts everywhere. Go crazy. Be free. Have fun. I'm going to be as gentle as you want. I'm going to be totally permissive within the bounds of what I hold. Always. All gentleness, all freedom, all expression, all your choice. Be exactly who you want to be, except for I don't let you cross over into asshole territory where you're hurting people. I don't. You don't penetrate my skin. Are you kidding? Are you kidding? Right. My sacred body? Your sister's sacred body? Under no circumstance. And my voice drops and I get firm and I get clear. Now I could be mean about that. There's a way that I could get firm and clear that's really harsh and doesn't ever let you hurt your, don't you dare hurt your sister.
Yeah. Or are you stupid?
I could denigrate you. I could hurt you while I'm holding. Now I can very clearly and firmly speak in a way that's actually still gentle if the words I use are gentle. No, you may not hurt your sister. I don't let people hurt your sister. Back your body up.
Or you
back up.
Or as you get older, kids, no, you may not hurt yourself.
Yes.
You don't understand, but this decision is hurting yourself. Or you're not allowed to hurt our property. This mommy worked very hard to buy this thing for this home. No, which that's a thing in gentle parenting that I've actually heard argued within the community of people I love, is like, well, I don't feel comfortable telling my child, no, they can't draw on the walls or tear this thing down off the wall. And because it's not gentle parenting, we guide them away. And then other moms being like, okay, well, that's fine in your own house, but what happens when you're in my house? I want to say no. And it really just comes down to like gentleness in communicating a boundary around certain things that matter to you. And and maybe a style of communication, like they have preferences, but ultimately it's having a shape. It's not just being passive, like, okay, well, my kid wanted to draw on the wall again. I guess I got to let them be creative little individuals. Like, well, no, you don't. If you don't want to,
if you don't want to
repaint your wall, then don't. If you do, then do.
If you're someone who's like, buddy, I got this wall color. I'm happy to repaint this wall every weekend. Fine.
Then
whatever.
That's fine.
That can totally be inside your line of safety. But that edge can be both firm and gentle. If I'm holding my hands out like this and I don't let them move, I'm not hitting you. I'm not pushing you. Right. It's actually quite gentle for me to simply hold this edge. It's very gentle and it's very firm. And to a child, that is safety. I need you to understand that your two-year-old is screaming at you like they want all the power, but they don't. They do not. What your two-year-old is trying to do, go listen to some toddler episodes about this if you want to get really into it. But what they're trying to do neurologically, developmentally, is find out what the edge is between you and them. They're looking for it. And what that means is that they don't want you to let them pass over the edge. They don't want that. They want you to show them. They want to crash up against it over and over and over so that they learn about it, so that they integrate it, so they know what it is. So they find out where some stuff does move. Some things are sometimes, whoa, that one's kind of a flexible edge. Whoa, over here, it's a firm, solid edge. That one never moves. Amazing. They, When I say integrate, what I mean is your tiny, tiny child is building an inside adult mm-hmm. who's going to guide them forever. Mm-hmm. Like there's going to come a point where you don't set the edges anymore. They set their own edges. They get all their freedom back. Mm-hmm. And their inside adult needs to be someone who can lead them and guide them. It's them, but it's also you. They build it out of you. Like mm-hmm. they like build it out of how you respond to them. Mm-hmm. And that needs to be a person who's decisive, who's clear, who has limits, who's able to be like, I love eating pirate's booty. I'm only going to eat this much because I get really sick if I eat that much. Mm-hmm. And that would be dumb of me to get sick all the time when I don't need to be sick. I can have the nice thing in the amount that feels good to me. Like that's firm.
Yeah.
Those are edges. Mm-hmm. Those are edges. Mm-hmm. So real gentleness, I'm a huge proponent of. Mm-hmm. But if what we mean is there's no edges, we're not serving anybody. We're having a way worse time with our child because, oh my gosh, mm. children's like impulsive feelings all the time are very unpleasant to be with.
Sure.
It becomes very unpleasant very quickly to do whatever a child wants at all times. Like,
well, especially when you start adding more than one child to the mix.
Yeah.
What are you supposed to do? And everybody wants different things.
Of course they do.
Yeah.
Of course they do. They're all different people. Mm-hmm. And it's actually not pleasant for them because go back to like my territory analogy and take all the fences out. Mm-hmm. If I just send a little tiny child out there, they know they're not safe. Mm-hmm. They're going to run forever, but they're going to hit a point where they can't see me anymore and turn around and be so scared.
Right.
It's so scary out there.
Yeah.
What they need is a jumping a little bit into attachment theory here, a secure base from which to explore the world, right? Someone solid mm-hmm. who knows and is in charge and says, you and me, child, very close together, I'm going to walk you into a brand new environment because I looked around and it's safe and good. Go ahead. And then they go out and then, oh, it feels weird. And they come back and they be close mm-hmm. to you. And then they go out and, oh, they go a little further that time and they come back and they go a little further mm-hmm. that time and they come back. They go over to where it's not cool and a voice calls them back, says, uh-oh, not that far. Come back. Come be with all the rest of this.
Yeah.
There's something bigger than them that holds them. What I'm doing literally as I'm like drawing these things, if you could see me on the video, I'm just holding. Mm-hmm. It's just my arms around. I'm drawing this fence with my arms, but these are just my arms.
Yeah.
Saying like, I hold you. Mm-hmm. If those are gone, there's no holding. That's not real holding.
Yeah.
Like I want to encourage and challenge you for some of this. For some of us, it's so hard. Mm-hmm. It's so hard. For some of us, we don't know how to be in charge. We don't know how to be leaders. For some of us, the adult was really scary, so we don't have a healthy adult to look to. So like, know that if this feels, this and feels like a challenge, it is.
Yeah, using your big low voice, mm-hmm. loud low voice uh-huh. might feel like it's propelled you into guilt, shame. Mm-hmm. I mean, I am so mean. That's like, I have one friend, she's probably listening, called me crying because she had used that voice on her three kids who were really spiraling out. I related so much because I was like, oh my gosh, I've had this literally happen in my house where you're trying to get each of them to school. Everybody's crying. Everybody's yelling, demanding their way, all of these things. And there is a point where you take back control of the morning. Mm-hmm. No way, guys. Mm-hmm. This is not how we're doing the morning. Reel it in. You have to wear clothes. School requires it. Like, you know, all of these things. Food is going to help you feel good. And I felt like I was kind of giving my friend permission actually from this couch, from things I learned from Lane, of like, use your mammal mama animal roar to bring back some control of the morning. It actually helps the kids to know how to relate, what to do, and what's appropriate. And they're going to then go into the world and learn how to function in groups of people and how to find acceptance and relationships that work. And
how to say no to others. Oh my gosh, how not to be ruled by other people's impulses.
Yes. And so, friend, if you're listening, I won't say your name, but I love you very much and you're the best mom ever. Yeah. But she was crying, feeling like so very guilty. Mm-hmm. And I think some of that comes from the pressure of like, be a gentle parent.
Yes.
Oh, you weren't very gentle in the way you just roared at those kids. Meanwhile, these moms are being tortured because nobody's listening to them and their needs are being put very, very last because they're doing everything they can to bend over and serve the whole rest of the house. And I do think it brings some balance back into the equation where you're giving parents, mothers specifically, is who I'm talking to, but it's all of you guys, anybody mm-hmm. listening who is Absolutely. Identifying with this role,
yeah.
is giving you permission to have a shape and to yeah. speak up when the shape is being
yeah.
being penetrated through, right? And mm-hmm. and something is really hurting and this isn't yeah. going the way that it needs to go.
Yeah. And which, like, let's carve out a little place for men about this.
Oh, yeah.
There's a big old reckoning happening in our lives right now about how harmful many men and the position that men hold have been. And men don't want to be that.
Really
and
good.
Thank you and yeah. love you. And wow.
That's right.
Amazing. It's incredible yeah. to get to evolve together. But of course, for some men, there's a real nervousness about having a shape, being clear, yeah. taking up an appropriate amount of space, which That's is right. some.
That's right.
It's a whole person's amount of space. Yeah. Every single man should also be allowed to take that
Absolutely.
Up without reaching over into, you know, without yeah. the colonialism and yeah, the, yeah. these
but
impulses.
No, it's but so good you say
men
that.
Men are allowed to yeah. say like, hey, that's enough, mm-hmm. like everybody else is, mm-hmm. in a way that's firm and clear. Mm-hmm. And I know even that little bit of loudness right there mm-hmm. can feel scary to some mm-hmm. of us, but like, that was not mean mm-hmm. what I just did.
Right.
It was authoritative. Mm-hmm. It was clear. It got attention. Mm-hmm. It could put a stop to the mm-hmm. thing that needs to be
you
put
know,
a stop
when
to.
When it's also really powerful is sometimes, I don't know the dynamic of your household, but sometimes I am being treated a certain way because I am mom. So kids are acting a certain way towards mom that mm-hmm. they don't act towards dad.
Yeah.
And Sean chimes in with a voice sounding just like that. Whoa, that is not mm-hmm. how we treat mom. Mm-hmm. And even that is like, oh. The way that it like levels the home. And to speak to like the role reversal thing, we did have an incident the other night. It was a Thursday. And I say that because Sean is a primary caregiver of the kids when I work during the week. And so Fridays, he says, are tough. He's like really tired. The kids are tired. Everybody's more stimulated and it's just a harder day. Thursday night, we were putting the kids to bed and Julesy was being really cute and asking for Sean. Over and over. And then I got to the point where it was like the fourth time she was asking him to sing a song. And he was like, oh, I got to go back in there and sing another song. And I was saying, no, you don't. You don't yeah. have to do that. You're allowed yeah. to tell her no. And it was cute. And I'm not advocating like be a mean parent or no. deprive your kid or something.
But no one would ever argue that Sean is depriving Jules of love. He literally sang the exactly. song three whole times. He's been with her all
yes.
week.
Like, and even Jules
she has
knows.
The love that she needs, yeah. of course.
Even Julesy knows how much her daddy loves her. This was more like, look how powerful I am.
Yeah.
And I get my dad to sing. Mm-hmm. And so it was really a moment of me reminding him, don't sing to her anymore. Yeah. You are tired. And tomorrow's going to be harder if you don't feel like you have any power
yeah.
in this equation. Right. And this little lady is going to be much more tired tomorrow, mm-hmm. which means life is going to be harder for her
right.
if we don't stop mm-hmm. this right now and tell her to go to sleep. This is her moment.
Absolutely. She's trying to exercise. She's trying to find out how much power do I mm-hmm. have. What she needs is not to get all the power that she feels like she wants when yeah. she's two. That she doesn't know what to do with and mm-hmm. can't wield appropriately mm-hmm. and is like not going to be able to manage.
Yeah.
What she needs is to just be shown, wow, great job using your power. This is the edge.
Yeah.
This is how much power you have and not more. Mm-hmm. You actually don't have all power over all people. That would be terrible for you and it would be terrible for others.
That's right.
There are more people than just you here. Mm-hmm. And I'm the one who gets to show you what that looks like. I'm in charge of helping you feel, run the fences, test them like mm-hmm. a raptor, baby, go for it. Mm-hmm. Like, do it.
Yeah.
But you're not a velociraptor. Mm-hmm. You're not going to find your way through these edges. This is what it is. Investigate the shape.
Yeah.
And I will hold them for yeah. you. My job is to hold them for you. And everything inside is flexible and free.
Yeah. And I love how you say my job is to keep you safe. And you at some point made the connection between sleep and safety. This was not in this episode, yes. like previously. And I've Absolutely. Thought about that a lot. Like my kids love to push bedtime. I saw a funny meme. I can't remember who sent it to me. Maybe you. I don't know. That was like, nobody has a longer to-do list than a toddler at bedtime. Because that's so true.
Yeah.
But my kids don't do as well if they're tired as mm-hmm. I would say that's true about any of us. But mm-hmm. I'll just specifically say my kids need me to enforce bedtime, even though they don't want me
yes.
to enforce bedtime. Mm-hmm. And that's a great opportunity for us to have some power and some firmness. And that sometimes doesn't seem the most gentle, yeah. but it is gentle. It's I want them to feel cozy in their bed.
It is good. Mm-hmm. It is good is what it is. I don't know if it's gentle. And I guess like I guess kind of the spark of wanting to have this conversation is to say, like, gentleness is a value 100%. And also, if gentle parenting is a thing that's working amazingly for you and like everything feels integrated and is going great, please don't feel attacked at all. Do what works for your family and goes well. So if
that's right.
that philosophy that's okay. is something that is functioning beautifully for you, great. Just know that there's like a lot of Instagram content out there yeah. right now that is 30 seconds long. And perhaps you are someone who has like a really good framework around gentle parenting. So when those reels come for you, they slot it correctly just into the right spot and they integrate perfectly. And yay, there are a lot of people out here who are confused and scared. And all this content is coming swirling around. There's just so many ways to be a bad mom according to the internet. Mm-hmm. And I don't want anybody to feel trapped or like they have to sit on their hands and just like let a child do whatever it feels like. Otherwise, they're not being gentle. I don't know that that's the word I would pick as my highest value for parenting.
Mm-hmm.
I would pick clear. I would pick safe. I would pick leader. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Pick your own word. Mm-hmm. You know, I do love respectful. I'm a big fan. I don't know what the technical difference is between respectful parenting and gentle parenting, sure. but like, I want people to feel as they watch a reel that says, I don't know.
Most of it is like, don't say this. Yes. Instead, say this.
Yeah. Which like, sure, it's a metaphor. Like, right. Take every reel you see as a metaphor mm-hmm. and be like, what's valuable here?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I got lost in my brain. But what I really just want is for, I want you to feel powerful. I want you to feel like a person who is guiding and negotiating with people mm-hmm. who is crafting people into a shape that is good for them
mm-hmm.
and doesn't ever feel like you have a clear, good instinct on what should happen, but you saw an expert on the internet say a different thing, so you can't follow that clear instinct.
Mm.
Like, I want you to know that you're the parent, you're the mom,
mm-hmm.
and it is good and important and right that you be the mom. Now, I have a really egalitarian view about adults and children.
I think that
we're even. I think that our value is the same. I think children are so valuable, and I'm so passionate mm-hmm. about their self-expression.
And you're passionate and about them being powerful.
Yes.
You are the one who taught me about like the power of a child mm-hmm. in the way that is good. Like yes. they are meant to be powerful.
Yes.
And yet, we are meant to be their parents. Yeah. And there's a different level of responsibility at play. And one day they will have the responsibility for their power.
Yeah.
But right now, we are responsible for them yeah. and the power they have.
Yeah. To me, the only hierarchy that exists is that essentially, like, there, I think that each person arrives in this world with a full freedom and ownership over their own life. Now, we arrive as babies who cannot manage our freedom and we don't have the practice or the experience or the knowledge to manage our lives.
Mm.
So that power is delegated to parents. Right now, you are the manager over your child's life. It's theirs. It's absolutely theirs. They will someday get all of it.
Mm-hmm.
But your job is to manage it for them, to give them back little pieces of their own power and their freedom that they can handle. Here, mm-hmm. hold your own cup, carry it with two hands. Not make your dinner, right?
Right.
But yes, also carry your cup. You can do it. Mm-hmm. No, you can do it. Just put two hands around it. Go ahead. I got you. If you spill it, it's okay. We'll clean it up,
mm-hmm.
right? This is gentle. This is respectful. But it's also not, oh, I'll carry that for you. Oh, I'll do this for you. Oh, mm-hmm. Like, they are a person. They get to and they are required to use some of their own power in their mm-hmm. lives. And they don't know how to. What I was saying, the only hierarchy I see is that we're equal, but I know about stuff and I have practiced mm-hmm. being a person for so many days.
Yeah.
You don't know about almost anything.
Mm-hmm.
That's not rude. That's true. You don't know.
And your brain
isn't almost developed. No practice.
Right.
You don't have the tools from practicing or even like the mental architecture. Like, you don't have the structure, the physical structure in your brain to be able to do this stuff. I have to be the one who's in charge. Mm-hmm. Somebody has to keep us safe and make sure that things are good.
Yeah.
You can't keep us safe. You're a baby. Mm-hmm. You don't know what's good. You're not allowed to be in charge of that yet. Mm-hmm. I'm going to keep us safe and make sure that things are good. That's what I'm going to do.
That's good.
I'm benevolent. And I think a lot of parents, like, you're going to have to learn how to believe this about yourself. Like, you are benevolent. You are good. It's okay for you to be in charge, even if there were other people around who were in charge and it wasn't actually safe and good for them to be in charge. Mm. It wasn't that they're in charge that's the problem. It's that those people weren't behaving safely and they weren't looking out for your good. And I'm sorry. Mm. That's awful. Mm-hmm. You are trustworthy. You are a safe, good. If you're here, the odds are very good that you're a safe, good, trustworthy adult and that it's okay for you to be in charge. Don't be mean. Don't hurt people. Don't use fear and force. Mm-hmm. You don't have to do that. But that also doesn't mean that you can't have any power or you're not allowed to be in charge. Your child desperately needs that from you and they want it. Mm-hmm. And actually, it's going to be way more pleasant for you and for them to like be together and enjoy this life if one of you is in fact very much in charge.
Yeah. That's right. It's beautiful. I think we're done.
You think we're done?
That was great.
That was it. That was the end. Okay, yay. If you have thoughts about this, if you have questions about this, if you disagree wholeheartedly and would like to let me know, if you would like to send any thoughts or any questions, our email address, as always, is verygoodenoughpod@gmail.com. It's verygoodenoughpod@gmail.com. And if you would like to be our friend, and be friends with other super cool moms who are in various different stages, the same one as you, ahead of you, behind you, and could use your help if you just don't want to be alone.
Yeah.
If you would like access to experts, if you would like access to us.
Yeah.
And more.
And more. There's join a space for very you. Good. I'm like, join very good something. Very Good Mothers Club, our online community. You can jump in and we're there. And yeah, we really are friends with everybody. And it's just a special, special place. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and if you don't like anything that Lane says, you can be mad, but you can't be rude, okay?
Hey.
Just be nice to each other. I would like to see that change happen on the internet. People being more kind with the things we don't agree with.
Firm, clear, gentle. Hey, gentle. Thank you.
Yeah. Gentle Instagramming. Yeah. Yeah, this was awesome. I appreciate it. Thank you. And you guys are really gentle parents, so we already know. You're here because you're gentle, wonderful, loving parents. Mm-hmm. But yeah, just have a shape, okay? You're allowed to do that. Okay, bye.
Bye.